Wildlife officials in Nepal are trying to rebuild the forests and grasslands that used to link the country's lowland parks. The people who live there aren't sure they want more rhinos, elephants, and tigers. In yesterday's National Geographic radio expedition, a wild rhinoceros was captured and trucked from one park to another. Today, NPR's John Nielsen reports on the efforts to win over the skeptics.
Teenagers from Nepal's Taru tribe are dancing in a circle around a drummer under the clear night sky. Once, not too long ago, the Taru shared the country's lowland forests and grasslands with wandering rhinos and elephants and tigers. The dances are relics now. Settlers from other parts of Nepal have been pouring into this region. Taru culture is fading. Cities like Budwal are rising in its place. Sharing Tenta Lama works for the World Wildlife Fund.
We have many migrants from the hills coming, and they like the opportunity of settling in the city to start some enterprise to earn some money. So this has grown really fast over the last 10, 15 years.
Budwal sits in the middle of what used to be a natural corridor for migrating animals. Conservationists, like Sharing Lama, call the city a bottleneck.
A bottleneck are those critical areas which are the gaps between the forest, so gaps between the connectivities. There is not much that we can do about Budwal because this is an urban settlement area that cannot be removed at all.
The forests in the hills behind this town are islands surrounded by farms. Tigers inside them can't wander far without entering a rice paddy or the outskirts of Budwal. The locals hate these animals. A traveling musician we met at a roadside pool hall says he's not even sure tigers should be allowed near a place with so many goats and cows.
He says it's all right, but they should be in fences or caged. That'll be all right.
I tell the musician about the plan to reconnect these forest fragments so that more tigers and rhinos can migrate through the hills. He doesn't like the idea. He says lots of local folks would starve if wild animals were to keep them away from their main source of wood and feed.
If they can't get fuel, then they can't cook their food. And they need the grass for their livestock.
Animals versus settlers. For years, some of the biggest battles in this endless lowland range war have been fought to the east of Budwal, in the buffer zone surrounding Royal Chitwan National Park. Buffer zones are heavily settled strips of land outside the park, where urbanization is limited, but not much else. We went to Chitwan to meet a man named Vishnu Prasad, who told us why locals used to think of park guards as the enemy.
When this park was first established, people who lived off the land for years were suddenly told that they could not go inside the park to get food and a firewood anymore. But the forest and the buffer zone were logged and hunted out, so the people tried to sneak in anyway. Sometimes they were arrested and fined, sometimes they were jailed, sometimes they were beaten and harassed. There was lots of resentment.
But not anymore. For several years now, half of the park's tourism revenue has been handed over to community councils in the buffer zone. The councils have used the money to build roads and schools and also to plant forests. Some of the regrown forests are now attracting wandering animals like rhinos and tigers and tourists.
Cheers, mate.
You might need to carry the canoe with us in it, back.
Ruddy-cheeked British beekeepers are settling into dugout canoes at the edge of the Bagmara community forest. which is managed by Vishnu Prasad. He and his neighbors like the park now.
It was like an expectant mother who went through a lot of difficulties to deliver her child. But once the baby was delivered, she was able to really appreciate her child.
Community forests like this one are supposed to patch the bald spots in the old migratory woodlands. Right now, only a few of the patch jobs are underway. But Sharing Lama of the World Wildlife Fund thinks that will change when a key group of lowland residents is converted to her cause, women.
The reason for that is actually very simple. The women have always been direct forest resource users. They are the ones who will go and collect the grass, the firewood. They will be chopping the wood, and the other ones will be going to collect water.
We traveled to Bardia National Park to meet one of those converts. Her name is Niranam Suryaporkrayu. She raises chickens and tries to find ways to make more room for forests. When we met her, a rice processing machine was pounding away behind her. In front of her, a second story was being added to her house.
She's going to stay below and she's going to have her chickens on the top.
A few years ago, Niranam pulled her cows and goats out of the local forests and put them in pens in her backyard. With a loan she got from a green bank in the area, she bought a device that converts dung into electric power. That's what keeps her lights on now. That's what runs her television. Sushila Nepali of the World Wildlife Fund says the neighbors have noticed.
When they started having loans, taking loans from the village bank, there were only 10 women who started. Now there are 75 women who are taking loans.
We would have stayed and talked to some of the other women in this group, but at the last minute, our travel plans were changed by some horrible news. At a nearby village, a tiger had just killed and eaten a woman. Killings like these are the dark side of the plan to reconnect the migratory corridors. That's a thought that comes to mind as Sushila Nepali leads us towards the scene of the attack. The woman's neighbors are waiting for us at the border of the park. They say it happened just inside those woods.
They saw her going in, but they never saw her coming back. So when she didn't come back for the night, they were worried. So the park people came with their elephants, and they started looking for her inside where they pointed out where she had gone. And when they went inside, first the clothes were torn and into pieces, and then the pull of the kill.
A tall white sheet has been stretched through the woods in front of us, several hundred yards in each direction. Sushila Nepali says tigers are skittish about crossing that kind of a barrier. But a white sheet is not good enough for the villagers. If this killing is not dealt with to their satisfaction, local support for the plan to build more forests in the area could evaporate. Sushila Nepali says there is a tracking team in the forest right now. We'll catch up with them tomorrow in our final story from the lowlands of Nepal. For Radio Expeditions, this is John Nielsen, NPR News, Royal Bardia National Park, Nepal.
Radio Expeditions is a co-production of NPR News and the National Geographic Society.